What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Behind the Facade. I'm your host, Gavin J. Gallagher, and on this podcast, I explore the mental and emotional game often playing out subconsciously, both in your mind and the mind of everyone else in the real estate or property investment market. The key to success in this game is to master your mindset and behavior, to take control of your thoughts, your emotions, and most importantly, your ego. Welcome to the show. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode. And this is not just any episode. This is episode number 200. And that I have written on my notes here, WTF. And that is because to think that 200 weeks ago, 200 consecutive weeks ago, we were in the middle of the COVID lockdown. And I decided, why not give this a try? And it, like, that was a crazy time. Obviously, as you guys probably all remember, if you're only just new to the podcast, well, then you should go back to the beginning. And that was the first episode was a trailer that I put out on the 28th of April, 2020. And so we are coming close to 4 years of continuous podcasting since then. Now, what I want to do with this is a special episode. And I actually started writing the script last night and I was going to hit record, but I kind of thought, you know what, I bring it into the office because this is where I started the podcast. And so I thought I'll be in here and I'm dressed up today because I'm going off to a couple of meetings in a little while. But I thought I would bring you into the office and I would just record this kind of on the fly and just hopefully share some of my experiences and some of the lessons that I've learned over the last 200 episodes. And, you know, there's some big experiences, some big lessons that can be gleaned from this. And, you know, a 4 year period is quite a chunk of time. And so there can be a lot of change in that period. So I thought it'd be useful to share what I've learned over that period of time and some experiences. So first of all, what is the probably the most memorable experience for me is the birth of my son, Dominic, who was born in August of 2020. So right in the middle of the lockdown, he was born. That was an interesting experience, I can tell you. Not being allowed into the hospital until like 5 minutes before he's about to be birthed. And so anyway, every time I look at my son, I kind of think to myself, wow, the podcast started just a little bit before that. So I can age the podcast very quickly just looking at him. And boy, does the time fly fast. Another thing that I can really celebrate about starting this podcast is just the amount of friends and connections that I've made by being on this podcast. And one of the things that I have not yet gotten used to, and I don't think I'll ever get used to, is being stopped by random people, strangers to me, but I am not a stranger to them. It's guys like you that are listening to the podcast. They see me when I'm out and about with family or whatever. They recognize me and they come over and they say hello, just, you know, introduce themselves and they tell me they love the podcast or whatever. And honestly, never gets old. I really do enjoy it. So like if you ever happen to see me, don't think that I shouldn't be approached or anything. I really do enjoy meeting you guys. I like making the connection with you. So just wanted to kind of drop that in there. I have learned so much myself over this period of time. Like I'm in my 50s now. And so when I started this, you know, people kind of listen to all of my insights and my experience and stuff. And you think, wow, this guy, you know, knows everything. I don't know everything at all. I don't think that I know anything. And I'm constantly trying to learn. So one of the things that I have really sort of learned and that I continue to learn is that you should never stop learning. And it's super important. Like if you think that you know it all, then your mind is closed to being educated and your mind is closed to new concepts, new theories, all that kind of stuff. So it's important to keep an open mind. And no matter what age, what experience you have, every day is a learning day. And so I, you know, we talk about ABL, always be learning. That is me. Now I'm curious. So maybe it comes natural to me, but definitely if you're out there, if you see or hear something that sounds novel or new, listen carefully because it might be the way things are going in the near future. And then if I go back 4 years, there's been quite a transformation in the economy. And like 4 years ago, we entered COVID and the banks, you know, put their interest rates down to zero effectively. And everyone was concerned that the economy was going to destroy itself And so they decided to turn on the taps. And, you know, in the US, they were handing out, you know, thousands to people. There was people were, you know, on furlough, so they were at home, but they were still getting paid. I mean, there was massive change in society in general. But definitely the economy has changed a lot. And obviously COVID has driven inflation, and then inflation has slowly, you know, crept up. And now all of a sudden we're fighting inflation. And how do you do inflation fighting? You do it with interest rates. And so pretty much all the central banks around the world have all racked up rates to, you know, 5% or whatever it is. And to go from 0 to 5% in the space of, you know, 18 months or thereabouts, that is painful. And I think everyone listening will probably have some experience of feeling a pinch, feeling pain. And whether it's the inflation, I mean, go to fill your car up, it costs. Go to buy the groceries, it costs. Go to pay your, you know, fuel bill at home, your, whether it's electricity or gas, whatever, it's costing more than it ever did before. And your mortgage is higher, plus your rent, if you're renting, is higher. And so everything across the board has crept up, and we're all feeling it in some shape or form. And I remember warning people that this was coming. And I kind of thought to myself, am I putting myself out on a limb there saying that I believe that this is what's going to happen? Because, you know, these episodes that I put out, they stay out. And so they don't always age well. But in that particular case, I think I've been proven correct. And I can remember saying, batten down the hatches, prepare for this because it is coming. And sometimes people don't always believe that, and they can be caught by surprise. Now, one of the downsides of starting the podcast and getting kind of a little bit of of a following is that it does attract impersonators and scammers and things like that. And one of the things that I started as a result of the podcast is my TikTok profile. And like, we all have social media and stuff like that, and a lot of people will just have a private account, whether it's Instagram or whatever, and you don't go out posting stuff. But I thought, you know, it's on brand with the podcast. Why don't I go and post to TikTok? Why don't I go and put some sort of opinions and expertise and educational stuff out there? And I've done that, and it really blew up. It was what started out as a kind of a joke with my kids has blown up. I now have over 8,000 people following me in TikTok, and I get tons of engagement, which is really great. But it, you know, what it has done is created this copycat kind of thing. And I'm actually just at the moment, I'm dealing with a brand new impersonator that has come in and is trying to scam people. And so I got to give a quick shout out to ORA Property Maintenance, I think it is, in Tipperary. That is Richard, who contacted me yesterday on TikTok just to let me know that he has been contacted by me, as in a scammer pretending to be me. And it's a very, very convincing profile because it says Gavin J. Gallagher on the handle. But when you take a very close look, you can see that it's G-A-V, and instead of an I, it's an L, a lowercase L. So it actually looks like an I on first glance, but only when you notice it kind of carefully do you see the difference. And so it looks like my handle. And so sure enough, these guys messaged Richard, and Richard thought it was me messaging him. And he's like, oh, hi, Gavin. And he sent me some of these screenshots so that I could see. But it's basically someone trying to flog some sort of a Bitcoin crypto scam. And you really do have to watch out, guys. And it's not necessarily just TikTok. I know that somebody reached out to me on LinkedIn and said, Gavin, can you, you know, confirm my investment is safe? And I was like, what investment? What are you talking about? And he was like, the one you took from me there recently. And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I just was like, I hope you haven't been scammed by somebody. And sure enough, the guy had been scammed, but not a small amount. I think he said it was $80,000, Australian dollars. And so, like, people do get hoodwinked. And, you know, if somebody is trying to sell you crypto in my name, then it's a bit of a red flag because, you know, it's not quite on brand, is it? I don't talk about crypto really that much.
but I do talk about property and real estate. So if somebody's trying to sort of say, hey, there's a great real estate investment, be very careful, because it's not going to be me unless you hear it on the podcast first. Anyway, just watch yourself out there. Wanted to kind of mention that specifically and give the quick shout out to Richard, because it's vigilance by you guys that actually helps me. What these guys do is they actually block me, so I cannot find those accounts. I had to ask my wife, could she open up her TikTok so that I could actually search for it? And I found it using hers, but on mine, it doesn't appear. Anyway, on to the next thing, the lessons. Like, I think one of the big lessons is, you know, I just referred to the economic change and things like that. And I think what lesson that shows me is that, and I've talked about it before when I talk about the four E's, but there is an inevitability about change. You cannot expect the economy to stay put. You cannot expect smooth sailing. Whatever you're doing, it might be boom times today, but that will end. Or it might be a horrendous, difficult time today, but that will end. And so you have to really think about, the inevitability of change, and just make sure you don't put yourself in a difficult position that is going to leave you tight in the event that there's any kind of a downturn. Don't get overexcited during the boom times, because that can be, you know, the rock that you'll perish on. So just definitely expect change. Stay alert. Remember the four E's. Well, I'll give you the two E's that I'm referring to directly in this case. It's events and the economy. So the economy can obviously falter at any time, but what can come out of the blue and cannot be prepared for are events. And these events happen without any warning whatsoever. So let's use the most recent event would be, you know, the stuff that's going on in between Israel and the Palestinians. That has all happened very, very, now it's October now at this stage, so it's been 6 months. But what I mean is that what is looks like peaceful times one day, the following day, that's all changed. The next thing might be, what else could we refer to? Well, look at the bomb attack in Moscow by ISIS. There's an unexpected sort of surprise attack. These things will happen, and sometimes they can unnerve the market, and you can suddenly have a massive swing in values or in consumer sentiment or whatever it might be. The next thing I want to talk about, and it's related to what I just talked about, is resilience. And one of the biggest lessons in my life, and you know, you guys have probably at this stage, maybe you're sick and tired of hearing me talking about it, but resilience. You have got to be, you know, harden up, and you've got to be resilient, because there's going to be hard times. And no matter what you're going through, you have to expect ups and downs. It is utterly naive to think it's going to be smooth sailing for your entire life. Now, the big mistake that I made when looking back on my own career is that I was extremely lucky to be in the right place at the right time. And I entered into the market around the boom time of the, you know, the early 2000s, when we were going through this massive sort of upward market. And it was like 5 or 6 years of absolutely ridiculous, crazy growth in the market. And so everything I touched turned to gold. And when you're in that kind of environment, you have got to have somebody whispering in your ear saying, this is not going to last. This is not going to last. This is just a temporary sort of situation, and get ready for hell to open up and swallow you up. And that is what ultimately happened. I ended up caught on the wrong side of the 2008 crash and paid a very hefty price for that. And that is something that if I look back now and think to myself, like if I had been doing the mentoring and stuff like that I'm doing now, if I had had my own mentor back in those days, which I didn't believe I needed, if I had my own mentor, somebody who was kind of doing that kind of whispering in my ear, I possibly could have sidestepped a huge amount of the damage that was done to me. And I can remember buying investments because I reckoned they were going to go up, not looking at the fundamental economics of them, and just saying, look, everything I touch turns to gold, so it's going to continue on like this. And ended up with assets that turned out to be dogs and didn't do very well at all. So be prepared. Know that the market will correct either upwards or downwards, whatever position you're currently in. Roll with the punches. It's just a fact of life. And like I said, if you want to be an investor, then it is naive to think that you are going to be an investor that doesn't have a down day or a down month or a down year, or as in, as I experienced, a down 6 years, where everything just continues falling for 5 to 6 years. And I describe that feeling as like death by a thousand cuts, because it's not one thing that comes along like a train and like that's it, you're game over. It is every day something new, every week another problem, setback, you know, banks coming in making demands and things like that. And then you've got, you're dealing with one bank, and then suddenly you get a letter and it's another bank asking for the same thing. And so it just accumulates, and it gets to the point like you can maybe tolerate that for a year or two, and like it's not pleasant, but you know, it doesn't wear you down completely. But 5 years of it, man, that is tough going. And so I know a lot of you have experienced this before. So one of the things that I say about resilience, and I'm talking to the guys that have experienced this before and know what I mean by that 5 years of, you know, horrendous, you know, just downward trajectory. And a few of you may have capitulated, and that is where you just sort of give up and say, do you know what? This is not for me. This game of investing is just not for me. And you guys, I'd like to start thinking that you have to believe that being caught by that terrible situation does not mean that investing is a bad thing. You do need to come back into the market, but you just need to obviously thread carefully. And there's various things that we can talk about in terms of mindset that will help you on that path. The victim mindset, as in looking back on what's happened to you and sort of feeling like somebody else is to blame, that it wasn't your fault, that you would have been grand if it hadn't been for the banks, all of that is unhelpful thinking. It's not going to serve you, that kind of thinking. You need to get into like a warrior mindset and think to yourself, you know what, I lost half of my net worth in that period of time. It's time to start rebuilding. And that's the attitude that I took. So the biggest takeaway of the last 200 podcasts or so, and indeed the dozens of guests that I had on, is simply your mindset. And that is one of the big reasons why I called this podcast Behind the Facade, is because there's kind of a double meaning there. Behind, like a facade of a building, what's behind it, you know, what goes on behind the building. But also, we all have a facade. We all wear a certain level of emotion on our face. And we might say something with our facial expression, but we might be thinking something very different. And so you've got to think carefully about what's going on through your mind. Like, what are the stories that you're telling yourself? And sometimes we can become so used to telling them that we become blind to them. And so in my view, the biggest determinant of success in almost anything is your mindset, because your mindset is what is going to set you on the path to just keep on persevering, push through, keep on working at it. And there's an awful lot of, well, let me just get back to the naming of the podcast. So Behind the Facade, that was supposed to be a metaphor for what goes on behind closed doors, like what's going on in your head. And that's one of the reasons why the second part of my 4 E's formula is your ego and your emotions. Those are two of the things that can take you down. And your ego, in my case, it was very much my ego that got me into the big Spanish deal that screwed me up back in 2008. And if I had not gone down, if I had not allowed my ego to be stroked, if I had not allowed myself to be in search of what we call significance, by going out, a lot of the time, there's various human needs. And some of those human needs are certainty. Some of them are uncertainty, or sort of variety, we'll say. Another human need is significance. And then another human need is love stroke connection. And those are kind of four basic human needs that we have. And one of them is dominant in your psyche. And so which one is it? And I did an exercise over the weekend, and I was thinking about, if I look at myself today versus if I look at myself in 2005, we'll say, so quite a few years back now. But I was absolutely driven on significance. And the whole purpose of going after that massive deal in Spain was to do something, in my view, that was very significant, that would have been, you know, impressive in the eyes of other people. And so I was chasing the approval of others, in a sense. But really, that's ego stroking. Like, that's me looking to be the big guy that did this amazing thing. And look at what it cost me. Like, it cost me years of my life and stuff. So have a think about which of those human needs is most dominant in your mind. Is it certainty? People like certainty. People like to know there's going to be a paycheck at the end of each month. People like to know that, well, I know, you know, that I have my house, and that I know that the mortgage is under control. But then there's the uncertainty side. People don't like traveling the same path to the office every single day. People don't like to stay at home and never go on vacation and never travel or something like that. Like, there can be people out there who demand, like, their mental state is that they must get away. They must enjoy, travel the world. They must have a little bit of excitement in their life, a bit of adventure, whatever it might be. That might be the dominant part of your mindset. In my case, it was significance, chasing significance, and it cost me a lot. But have a think about that. Like, significance, me making a podcast, I guess there's an element of significance in that, but also there's an element of connection. And I love the connection that I have with you guys, with, you know, my family, all that. So love and connection is another one. And so, having gone through what I've gone through, I would say that love and connection is probably a more dominant one now. And but there's obviously a strong element of significance there. But it's worth your while thinking about this. And your ego and your emotions, those are things that can get you into trouble. So it is important that you set time aside to just evaluate yourself and just say to yourself, okay, let's have a think now. Look at the stuff that I'm doing. Look at the things that I'm trying to achieve. What is the driver behind them? Is it significance, or is it just simply that this seems like a sensible thing to do? Try to kind of dig deep on your reasoning, and not a shallow reflection. You've got to go deep with some of this stuff, because sometimes it can be buried. So what else is a reason why mindset is, in my view, the most important thing? Well, think your decision to start anything, your decision to keep going, your decision to push yourself through challenges, your decision not to quit, all of that will start and stop in your mindset. And I'm going to give you an inspiring example. It's somebody that every single person probably on the planet knows. But I'll just give you a little bit of backstory, first of all. Like, if I was to say to you, you're going to invest in something, and you go and you speak to a bank, and the bank says, sorry, we're not going to give you the money. Do you, you know, give up at that point? Your loan application has been rejected. Do you decide, well, I guess investment is not for me, and therefore you walk away and decide to call it a day? No, of course not. That is kind of a ridiculous thing to say. And you just go and you'll find another bank and you'll apply to that bank. And hopefully that process will go through smoother. But what happens if you get another rejection? Is that the point that you decide that you should quit? Or do you keep going? Let's say you go to another 5 banks and all 5 of them reject your, you know, your loan application. Is that time to quit? Like, you've been turned down 7 times now. Maybe it's just not for you. Is that what you're thinking? Well, I think you really have to think about this more carefully. Never quit is kind of the view I have, because there are people out there that have started businesses that literally had nothing. And today they've built something very, very big and well-known, and from literally nothing. And so the strong mindset will give you the strength, tenacity, perseverance, just to keep going. How many rejections would you take before you decided that, okay, that's it, I'm just going to hang up my boots here, I'm just going to give up? Well, this story will be the one that'll give you an idea. You've all heard of Walt Disney, the man who created Disney, the man who created Mickey Mouse, all of that kind of stuff. Pretty sure every single person on the planet knows. Well, did you know that his first business was a business called Laugh-O-Gram Studios? And that was his very first business. He started doing animation, all that. It went bankrupt. And he got very, very badly hurt in that. He hurt other people, investors. I think his brother might have been involved as well. And so not a pleasant experience for anybody to go through that. But he learnt from his mistakes and he eventually started again and built what we now know as Disney. But that was best known for cartoons, for animation. You know, we all know Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, all that kind of stuff. But when he came up with the idea of creating the Disney theme parks, we all know Disney World and Disney Park. There's Disney World in Florida, and there's Disney, I think it's called Disney Park, is it, or something like that? There's a place anyway in Los Angeles as well, in Anaheim, I think it is. And then there's Disney Paris. So there's places all over the world that are Disney theme parks. When he started with the idea of building the Disney park in California, and it's back in, I think it's back in the 50s or something like that, he had to go to 300 banks. Every single one of them rejected him before he eventually found a bank that was willing to see the same opportunity that he saw. And today, as you know, the theme parks are one of the biggest business, but prior to him doing it, nobody had ever done it before. And so it was never done before. Therefore, if it hasn't been done before, well, then it mustn't work. If it hasn't been done before, it's a novel idea. It's too risky. If it hasn't been done before, well, then it couldn't possibly work. And this is where it's those guys that have this kind of vision that go out there. Now, if you have a vision, it's a great thing to have vision. But if you have vision and you don't have tenacity or perseverance, well, then you'll probably never see your vision through. And so that is one of those examples that I like to give. And there's also other examples. If you'd know of Sylvester Stallone, and I know there's a documentary on his life in Netflix at the moment, but when he started out, Sylvester Stallone grew up in a really rough part of the Bronx. He looked kind of strange because he was born... when he was born, they had to pull him out with forceps. And so he has like a scar on his face, which gives him his kind of unique voice and stuff like that. He was going around all of these places looking to become an actor. And he went and he applied to different studios and different, you know, acting schools and all of this stuff. He applied 1,500 times for a role as an actor and was turned down every single time. And then he decided to try his hand at writing, and he wrote the script for Rocky, his second movie. The first one was a slightly unknown title, I can't remember the name, but Rocky was the one, and he was going around trying to sell it, and nobody was interested. And then he found somebody who was prepared to pay him, but they only wanted to pay him and not for him to act it. They just wanted the script, and they wanted to give him, I think they offered him $30,000 for the script, but for him not to act in it, just for the script. And he said, no, I'm an actor. I've written this and I'm going to be also the star in it. And they were like, not at all, no chance, you know. So $30,000, he had no money at all. He was absolutely broke. So broke, in fact, that one day he couldn't feed his dog any longer. So he took, you know, man's best friend, his best buddy, his dog. He took him to a liquor store and he stood outside trying to sell the dog. And a guy came along and paid him $25 for this dog. And he gave up basically this lovely dog that he really cared for because he had that little money. Took the $25, bought some groceries, whatever he had to do with it, and kept on going. He suddenly gets offered the money, the $30,000, but they don't offer him the role in it. They just want the script. He turns it down and he walks out of the office. And so a few weeks later, they obviously thought they'll kind of like chill him out and make him come back begging, but he didn't go back to them. And so a month later, they call him again. They say, look, we really, really want this script. We'll pay you $125,000 for you to give us the script and not to be the actor in the movie. And he turned them away, walked out the door again. So they increased the offer. I think they went to $250,000. And he said, unless I'm the actor, no. Now, can you imagine? You are dirt broke and you have a vision for being in the movies, and somebody is waving 250 grand in front of your face, and you say, no, I'm walking out the door. Like, that takes serious guts, perseverance, all that stuff. Anyway, what happens? They eventually capitulate. They really want to make the movie. So they say, look, we'll do it, but we are not taking a risk on you as an actor. So you are going to take, you are going to run the risk like us. We will pay you 35,000 for the script, and then you are going to work on the movie for free. And if it's a commercial success, which we highly doubt it because you're not a known actor, but if it's a commercial success, then we are going to share the profits with you. But that is the deal. He took the deal. He took the 35,000. And what was the first thing that he did with the 35,000? Did he go out partying? Did he go out buy a new car? No, he went to the liquor store, and he spent 3 days going to the liquor store trying to find the guy that bought his dog. And when he finally found the guy, he said, hey, I'm the guy that sold you the dog. I've got some money now. I'd like to buy him back. And the guy said, it's my dog now. You can't have him. And he said, look, you gave me $25. I want to give you $100 for the dog. I'll give you four times your money. No chance. So then he upped his, changed his approach. He upped it to $1,000. The guy said, no chance. He upped it to $2,000. The guy said, there is no amount of money that you can offer me that will get this dog. And so that was not enough for Sylvester Stallone. He decided that, no, I know what I want and I'm prepared to pay. And so out of the 35,000 that he had earned, he paid 15,000 to this guy to buy his dog back. And I mean, that is just, it just says an awful lot about the guy. But also, the guy really managed to kind of like really crank out a good deal for him. The guy is in the movie himself. He actually got a role in the movie. And Rocky's dog that he paid 15 grand for is also in the movie. So there's a little bit of history, but there's an idea of perseverance. 1,500 interview rejections and walking away from stuff because it didn't fit with your vision. So guys, have a think about that. Your mindset is really the determinant of success. And if you have a weak mind, then the likelihood is you'll quit just before you reach the gold. And anyway, like guys, I hope you enjoyed it. This is my 200th episode. I wanted to give a little bit of feedback on my mindset, on my thoughts around mindset and all that kind of stuff. I'll be back same time next week with more stories, more insights, more guests related to real estate, investment, and of course, mindset. Talk to you soon, guys. All right, guys, one last thing before I go is the new accelerator program. I've done this. We've done multiple cohorts over the last couple of years. Got tons of great reviews from the guys that have done it. Go and check out my LinkedIn recommendations down at the bottom of my profile, and you'll see all of the clients that have written some pretty decent reviews of the program. But what I would like to do now is tell you that on the 1st of June, we are kicking off a brand new cohort, and this one is going to be awesome. It's going to have an in-person welcome event on the 1st of June. I'm going to be limiting the number of people in the cohort to 20. Usually in the past, I've kind of limited it to kind of 10 to 12, and that's a nice small number. But when you have 10 to 12, sometimes people are busy. You end up with only a handful of people on the call. So I think if we make it 20, we can probably have 10 people on the call. And you always get some great insights from other people. Now, this is for people that are more advanced. This is not the junior or the novice investor sort of level. This is for people who are more advanced, who are probably professionals or corporate executives or contractors with their own business that are looking at getting into property on a kind of professional level, like a serious level, where you're going out there, you're building a big portfolio, or you're at least trying to create enough passive income, robust passive income, that you can step away from a full-time job and you can actually have like a recurring income on from your properties. That's the idea. There's an awful lot that goes into that, and that's what this program is. The program lasts 16 weeks of actual like one-to-one coaching and all that kind of stuff. but you're actually in the mastermind as well for a year. And there's all sorts of goodies that you get when you join my accelerator. So guys, I hope this is of interest. If you are interested, please do reach out. Let me know. I'm taking names already. We have 3 people signed up for the program. So there's 17 spots left. And if this sounds of interest, please do reach out and connect with me. Probably LinkedIn is the best place, but you can DM me on the on my Instagram. And I'm sure those of you who you know my email. If you've received any emails from me over the last few years promoting various things, then you'll know what my email is. So guys, speak to you soon.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Behind the Facade. If you have any questions or topics you'd like me to cover in future episodes, please connect with me via the Facebook group that is called Behind the Facade Community. Alternatively, you will find me on social media. My handle is Gavin J. Gallagher. You can stay up to date with all of my content and the various projects I'm working on over on my website, gavinjgallagher.com. And while you're there, please do add your name to the Join My Tribe thing over on the right-hand side. This will ensure you're kept up to date via my weekly newsletter. All of these links are in the show notes below. That's all for now. I will see you guys in the next episode.